This episode of Road Dirt the Podcast is brought to you by Law Tigers Motorcycle Lawyers. You can find them at lawtigers.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And we're actually beginning a series here at the beginning of the new year where we're going to introduce you across the next month or two to the Road Dirt crew, the different writers, contributors, photographers that participate in Road Dirt that make it the unique motorcycle storytelling platform that it is at RoadDirt.tv. And so we thought we'd interview one of the original crew members of Road Dirt that we're into our sixth year now. And one of the first friends we made and guys that joined up with us is a dear friend of mine now named Ted Edwards. And I thought we'd jump in and share a chat that he and I had the other night. We were over babysitting at my my daughter and son-in-law's house. So if you hear a baby carrying on in the background, that's my wife with our grandson. So Ted and I had a great conversation, and we thought we'd share it with you here. Hey, this is Rob and Ted with Road Dirt, and this is the first in a series of discussions we're going to have with the Road Dirt crew. We want a lot of y'all out there that follow us on the podcast and on roaddirt.tv and Road Dirt TV, the website, and all of our fans and friends on the social media channels. We figured it'd probably be a good opportunity to let you get to know some of these guys and gals, and you know, what is it about motorcycling that we like so much. I wanted to start with you, Ted, because we go way back to the beginning of Road Dirt with this thing. You and I, how we met was through another publication that we both contributed to that folded, and that editor put us in touch with each other and said, hey man, you guys ought to get together. And you know, we launched Road Dirt about the same time you and I were getting acquainted with each other, and the rest, as they say, is history, man.
Yeah, I was leaving a Mexican restaurant and I didn't take the phone call. I thought maybe it was some spam. My wife says, why don't you answer it? I said, I have no idea who this is. And then some guy with the southern accent asked me to write for him, and like a fool, I said yes.
That's right. And the fool has kept on riding with us all these years. And here we are in year number six together. And we have had one heck of a great ride. It's been a lot.
Has it been? Wait, did you just say year six?
Yeah, we did, man. This is starting year number six with Road Dirt Motorcycle Media. We're in beginning our sixth year. Hard to believe.
6 years, man. You think I'd be better at it by now?
Yeah, I think we're doing all right. You know, we've got a little cadre of great, great writers and contributors that we really enjoy each other and we love what we do. And there's apparently a growing following of people that love what we do too. So, hey, coming along for the ride.
So, thanks to both of the people that read Road Dirt.
That's right. All three of them. But, hey, you know, you and I have talked a lot. I've gotten to come out there to Pacific Northwest and ride with you, and you've been here to Georgia in the, you know, the Southeast riding with us several times over the last few years. And we've had a lot of riding together and hopefully do a lot more this year and in the years to come. You've been riding for how many years have you been on motorcycles, Ted?
Oh, man, I don't think it's tough to count how many years I've been riding. It's easier to count how many years I haven't been riding. I remember being 9 years old when I saw my dad's motorcycle, an old Hodaka Wombat that he had rolled out of the garage, and I saw the sun reflect off the Grom gas tank. And after that, it was pretty much history. I don't think I've been off of a bike very long since I was, 9 years old. So that's 170 years. I think I had a pet dinosaur.
Since you were like a fourth grader, man, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. So what was your first bike? The one that was yours. Do you remember your very first motorcycle?
Well, the first one that I learned on was just probably a bike that a lot of people learned on, an old Honda Trail 90 that I fell in love with. I could kick start it. I could ride it in the field next to our house in the wintertime. I would hook a rope and put a sled on the back and tow my little sister around the neighborhood, and we'd hot lap around the neighborhood going off homemade jumps that we had built. It was it was that Trail 90 that first got me convinced that, yeah, this is what I've been wired for. And man, went through that Trail 90 and, you know, a lot of Honda dual sport bikes, because we're in the Northwest. There's fire roads everywhere. It's a dirt bike Disneyland up here. And I don't think I got on my first street bike until I was probably around 18. And that was the old CB550 that we rescued from a goat barn and set on fire a couple of times. CB550,
what year was that? Remember what year it was? What's your CB550?
I think it was in 1974. It had an orange,
so cool,
black metal flake gas tank.
Yeah.
And it smelled like goat piss, and it didn't run. It was full of rust. Yeah. And once I got that thing running, I never got off of it. I actually stole it from my dad and wrote it to Clark without telling him. He called me and told me he was going to call the police. So I rode it from Ellensburg to Wenatchee over two mountain passes in January, bundled up with every layer I had, just to bring it back to him. I rolled up, I put the keys on the counter. I was shaking so badly, I couldn't put the kickstand down. Almost dumped the bike in the driveway because I was so frozen. I put the keys on the counter, and he just looked at me and said, "Thanks." I'm like, that's as much credit as I get. Wow. But little adventures like that, I think make me coming back to motorcycling, because there's stories that you can't make up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, you can hear we're over at my daughter and son-in-law's house. We're babysitting the grandson. So Lisa's in the other room and he's in there rummaging around on his little walker and everything. So we may hear him from time to time in this. But I remember I started on a little Trail 90 too that wasn't even mine. It was a cousin of mine in a nearby town, and it just kind of went from there. So, and then you had that CB550 first street bike, and good Lord, man, riding that thing in January the things we do when we're young bucks, right?
Yeah, you know? Right now it's -6 degrees outside, and if somebody asks, get on a motorcycle and ride it across two mountain passes for an hour, I think I would probably tell them where they could stick that motorcycle.
but an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that CB550 later on, I took a big gap in riding when my kids were young. It was kind of hard to leave the driveway and see my wife and three kids waving at me. So there was there's a span for about 8 or 9 years where I was bikeless. When I moved back to Wenatchee, bought my son his first dirt bike. And I think, what did I get? I rescued an old Trail 90 from a yard sale, a basket case, because it made me nostalgic. And I restored that. Yeah. And then my son and I started riding dirt bikes since he was about 9 years old.
And he carried on the tradition.
We rode dirt bikes in the desert, and he would come in sand in his teeth and exhausted. He would devour 6 hot dogs and 4 gallons of root beer and go to sleep. And then I decided to buy a street bike, and I bought my VFR 800 and have been touring on it for well over a decade with my family.
That's the first and only, when you got back into motorcycling, you're riding the bike. When you got back into street riding, at least, you're still on the bike that got you back street riding again.
Yeah, I'm kind of stubbornly faithful.
Yeah, I would say so. That you've had one, and your one and only love is that VFR 800 that you got.
I've gotten a lot of funny looks because I count how old it is now, and of course it's over 25 years old now.
It's a 98, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 98. I think I've got over 125,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
There's newer bikes, and you know, you and I've tested them, and they've got electronic adaptive cruise control and ride modes and all sorts of stuff that I honestly get addicted to. And then I get back on my VFR and I hear the gear whine and I hear the V4 growl, and it's got big old sweeping wands for, you know, a tachometer, and it's analog speedometer. And there's something about that analog connection with the bike that modern digital bikes just don't have. So yeah, that was my first real honest to goodness touring bike. And I kind of haven't looked back since. Now other bikes have come into the garage, but when I take off on a trip, that's the one that I use.
That's the go-to baby. Speaking of go-to babies, you've got a unicorn also that we've written about and you've done stories on and videos on. Tell us a little about the unicorn, man.
Yeah, that was, I mean, we all have bikes that impact our brains growing up, right?
Yes.
Bikes when we see when we're kids, when we're teenagers that make an impression on us and we think, that, you know, that's the bike that I'll own one day. And for me, it was that 93 VFR 750. I almost bought one with my first teaching paycheck, but more sane decisions, like a wife and a house, took over. And I said, you know, one day I'll get one. Mm-hmm. And then 25 years later, I started looking. I couldn't find them. They were nowhere. Every morning with my coffee, I'd look for one. I'm like, the great white
bike has to be out there
somewhere. And then one day in 2020, during the pandemic, I lo and behold found one in Oregon in the barn. I asked my wife, who said, "Why don't you just buy it?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Okay, before you change your mind." I was the next day. I drove 9 hours down there, picked it up, and the same thing. Something about carburetors and old school air cleaners, throttle cables that just make you feel like you're more connected to the bike. And even though
Pearl White VFR 750.
Oh yeah. I like to call it
gorgeous.
It's a refrigerator white.
And you called me while you were on your way either there or on your way back with it. And just an amazing story. A unicorn found a dream come true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's my baby.
It is indeed. Now you do a little track riding too. What's your track piece that you use?
Well, you're going to see a theme here with 90s era Hondas. I have a 1990.
Yes, there is a thread here that kind of runs through these.
Yeah, you can tell where my motorcycling brain matured. Somewhere in the 90s, listening to too much Nirvana and trying to piece together, you know, pop ramen for college. I remember the 98 Superhawk coming out, and it was just a big old beater V-twin, and I thought, ooh, that'd be a cool bike one day. And then, again, found one that needed a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Took a chance on buying it, fixed it up, and it's my track bike.
It's a great motorcycle too, man. You've done so much great
as
stuff.
As I was starting to work on it, I thought, let's just see what it can do. So I have the geared up one and down one in the front and up two in the back. So it's geared pretty low. I've got a full stunt cage on it. Right now I've got those Dunlap Racing Slicks, the Q4 or Q5S's, which
I think you did a story on those last year, I think.
Oh, great. And then braided steel lines grafted on racing brakes from a CBR and put on a full stunt cage. So I took a completely nice streetable Honda and made it a barely rideable street bike. But on the track, it's just a ton of fun.
It's a monster. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, one thing a lot of our Road Dirt community knows about you is that you're a long distance with a capital L, you know, sport tourer across the United States. You mm-hmm. and your cousin/riding buddy Dave Wensveen, you guys every year, man, you tour the western half of the United States practically. It's and you've been east out here with us too. So You guys went up in Canada. What are some of your favorite rides that you just, if you could go back and just keep doing these roads, these rides, these regions, whatever, what are some of your favorites?
Oh man, you know, somebody asked me that when we were riding for Bike Bandit, and they did a story and asked, you know, what's your favorite ride of all time? And the answer is the same. It's the one I just got done doing.
Whichever one I did last.
That's my favorite one. But it's funny you should ask that. Dave and I were texting each other today and already talking about last year, what our favorite rides was. As we started thinking, we forgot, we went on this ride. And we went on this ride. And I think we do a lot of once in a lifetime trips, about five or six every year. Spring break coming down to your place and riding those three cruisers through Tale of the Dragon. Spending 2 weeks road tripping down the California coast to go to Laguna Seca, riding around Colorado for a week. Oh, and then there's going to Nelson up in BC, Canada, and riding 31A, which is one of the best roads I've ever been on. And I start listing them over and over, and I think, we ride a lot, and we do a lot of once-in-a-lifetime trips that people would die to go on, and we do them all the time. And right now, Dave, my phone is blown up. He's like, when are we testing tires? What are we doing next summer? When are we going to Rob's for spring break? Are we going to do that again? I'm like, Sure, it's all fun. Even short day rides, I have a great time on. I have just as much fun on those as I do spending 2 weeks camping off a bike.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it's all good. It's just different flavors of good. You know,
Yes,
a day
it
ride up here in the mountains, I have as much fun doing that as I do, you know, hot lapping around Laguna Seca or riding around Million Dollar Highway in California or riding Chehalis Skyway, which I absolutely adore.
is. Yeah,
They're
I
all
do
good,
too.
just different flavors are good.
That, yes, it's like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Yes. Ice cream. Yeah, yes. It's like all of it. That's
Yeah, you
for
might as
sure.
well ask me to pick out my favorite motorcycle. I'm just gonna be, well, it kind of depends on what I'm doing on the day. And
That's
ask
true.
me my favorite ride. Well, it would take a whole lot of brisket and a whole lot of potato salad and some of Phil's wife's, you know, diabetes-inducing sweet tea, and we could have
That's
a
true.
long conversation.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. What is it about motorcycling? I mean, 'cause you do a lot of things. I mean, you're a ski patroller and you're a teacher and there's a lot of other cool stuff you get to do. You're a great mechanic and all, but what is it about motorcycling, just riding, that appeals to you so much? What does motorcycle riding do to you, do for you, whatever?
Well, you know,
You
I
know what I'm
figure if I,
asking.
yeah, I
Does it
think
mean
if
to
I find
you?
that answer, I'd be done writing, because that's kind of the challenge is trying to describe what makes it so great. And that's why we
Yeah.
keep writing about it, because nobody can really like put their finger on it.
What
My
is it
dad and I
you
had
love
this
most
conversation.
about it, I guess?
Oh, we've had this conversation for years. Nobody get together with their Buicks and say, hey, let's get, you know, 10 of our friends together and ride our Buicks around the Northwest for a week. And
Yeah.
that doesn't happen. But if you
No.
get 10 friends together and say, hey, let's get on our motorcycles, we'll eat bad food, we'll sleep in a bunch of teepees, we'll ride 300 miles a day across mountain passes and ferries, you can find some like-minded idiots that'll say, yeah, that sounds
That
like a
with
great
you.
idea. There's
Yeah.
something about being on two wheels that induces a little bit of suffering that you suffer along with your friends. And at the end of the day, you've lived more in one day than most people do in a year. You've gotten attacked by eagles or ridden through hail or seen the Wallowa Valley and mountains for the first time. Things that cars insulate you from, a
Yeah.
motorcycle immerses you in.
That's a good
And
word for it
it
too,
is
yeah.
so, it so stimulates all of your senses, you know, your taste, your smell, your vision, that it's totally overwhelming. You get in a car and it's like you might as well crawl in a coffin. You hop on a motorcycle, you're going to get rain in your face. You're going to get a bug on your windshield. You're going to feel cold wind creeping up your shirt. You're going to get hungry, tired, a little dehydrated, and just be totally happy by the time you're done.
I've heard people, they say, I love the freedom of it. And I've never really known what that meant, but when you describe it like you have, that there's this visceral, you're not riding through the environment, you're in the environment. You're not a spectator through, of your surroundings through glass and windshields and a roof and everything. You're immersed in the environment. I like your word, immersed. And I think that's, maybe that is freeing. Maybe that is freedom, just the complete connection with the machine, and the machine and the man or woman, in complete connection with the surroundings and the environment that they're riding in and riding through. I think that's the closest we can come to really why it's such an, it's a drug. It's an addicting drug, to so many of us.
Well, I agree. I think there is part of that stimulation that is addicting, but it's also the vulnerability of it. When I'm
Yeah.
driving a car and I go gas up and I look bad and I smell bad, and you know, obviously I've been on the road for a while, nobody comes up and talks to you. You get off a motorcycle with a bunch of stickers on the back like mine has, and it's covered with bugs, and I've got dirt on my face shield, and obviously I've lost some weight because I haven't been eating right for 5 days. Everybody comes up and talks to you. Gas station stops take 30 minutes because you are vulnerable on a bike, and that's what makes it so intriguing. In a society that wants us to shield us from ourselves, and kids can't use slides because they're dangerous, and we're
Yeah.
protected from bad decisions. Motorcycles encourage bad decisions and sensory stimulation, and you're vulnerable, willing to expose yourself. And it's the one time in life where you're probably in the least control of what you do. There's so much out of your control. It's freeing.
It is. It is. a lot out of your control that you're out in the middle of, and yet, you know, you feel like you're in complete control of yourself, of the machine. And yeah, it's an experience unlike anything that if people haven't, it's kind of like you see bumper stickers that say, if you've never, if you don't ride, you'll never know, or I'll, you know, if you don't ride, I can't explain it to you, something, you know, things like that. So.
Absolutely. In fact, I was looking on our website just recently, and I was kind of curious how many articles I'd written, and it was somewhere in the 90s. And I thought, how in the heck have I managed to write 90 articles about motorcycling? That's stupid. And yet, no matter how much I write, I've never quite figured out how to describe what it's like. And and you get it or you don't. Yeah. And I wish there's a better way to say it, but yeah, people that get it. You see another biker, they're a brother. They understand what it's like to be on the bike for a day, a week, or a month. We pull over and help each other. We see people at gas stops and we have 20-minute conversations about where you've been. We read stories about bikes and we read other motor journalist stories. It's a brotherhood because we understand what it's like. And if you don't like bikes, well, we can't explain it to you. Sorry, you might as well just, you know, go read a knitting catalog.
That's right. So what do you got planned for this year? What do you got in the works? What, as far as rides or trips, what are you and the crew working on?
Well, absolutely already thinking about spring break and what we want to do. We've got a week off, and good. Dave and I have been talking about how spring break last time fulfilled his bucket list. Going to ride Tale of the Dragon was great. Yes. Even the three cruisers probably wasn't the best tool, but that's what made it so fun. I've never apologized to a manufacturer so much for scraping off floor pegs as taking those cruisers through the Tale of the Dragon.
That was a lot of fun last year.
It was a lot of fun. Absolutely going back to see my friends at Laguna Seca, probably doing a road trip to Colorado at some point, which will be a big couple thousand mile trek. And it's nice to plan some of those trips, but it's also nice to not plan trips and just go where the weather dictates, and make things up as we go.
Just point the bike in a direction and then ride, you know, that's for sure. Well, man, thanks for taking a few minutes and chatting with me, Ted. I appreciate it, man. And absolutely. Look forward to hopefully, you know, us getting together either over here or over on your coast and doing a ride together again. Absolutely. Cause it's a lot of, we have a lot of fun on 2 wheels.
I'm very hard.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, I hope you enjoyed getting to know Ted Edwards a little bit better and his motorcycling background and passion. We certainly learned actually a couple of new things and about somebody that's been riding with us from the beginning. So that's really cool. So, hey, we got more coming up in the weeks to come. So hope you'll stay tuned and give us a like, subscribe so you can get notifications and share a comment or two, share us around too. We'd love to, have you help expand the Road Dirt community and give us 4 or 5 stars if you enjoyed this. And we want to thank our sponsors, Law Tigers, motorcycle lawyers across the United States, for sponsoring this episode of Road Dirt. You can find us on social media. We're at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of those are Road Dirt TV. Check us out on our main media site that all of these writers and photographers all contribute on. It's roaddirt.tv. We call that our e-magazine. And we have a YouTube channel also, Road Dirt TV. Without the dot there, Road Dirt TV out on the YouTubes. You can check us out there as well. Well, until next time, this is Rob with Road Dirt. Ride life.